producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Triceratops found in China. Trump continues the war of words on the campaign trail, and I'm here for all of you. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Boy, what a crazy week it was in politics. And, of course, we had yet another Republican brawl, debate. I'll call it debate. And Cruz and Trump really went at it the most, and I don't think that's a surprise. And the reason it's not a surprise is because you've seen it. Trump lately has had plenty to say about Cruz when he's out campaigning. And in some of the polls, they're not neck and neck, but Cruz is second to Trump. So his people, I'm sure, feel like, wow, there's a good opening here, and we're going to take that opening, and we're going to do whatever we can with it. So this is what we saw in the debate. I mean, how many of these sparring matches will knock the rest off the stage? I mean, how many are going to be left at the end? Because we're in results season now. So the showdown just took, a couple of minutes in the warm-up, kind of like a warm-up act. But then it was game on. Cruz responding to Trump's accusations that he's not eligible to be president because he was born in Canada. And Cruz says, listen, my mother, if you go back and you look at the Constitution and you look at my family history, that's a bunch of baloney. Back in September, my friend Donald said he had his lawyers look at this every which way, and there was nothing to this birther issue. And since September, the Constitution hasn't changed, but the poll numbers have. So the animosity meter between Trump and Cruz is off the charts right now. The billionaire and the businessman, that's what I would bill it as if I was setting up this matchup between the two of them, because really it's been kind of friendly between them for most of the campaigning, but that was in the poll season. Now it's about the results and what happens when voters go out in the primary to decide which way they're going to go. The polls have tightened in Iowa. February 1st caucuses will be here before you know it. So the attacks continue. I mean, even at one point, Cruz said, on the issue of citizenship, Donald, I'm not going to use your mother's birth against you. Wow. And, of course, Fox Business Network put on, they were responsible for this debate, I'll say. And Trump said, because it wouldn't work. So it was pretty darn interesting. Along the way throughout the show, of course, we'll weave in some of what happened in the debate, some more specifics to let you hear a little bit of that, too, as well. Plus, we're going to talk with Lisa Durden, pop culture guru, about the fact that the Oscars, yes, the Oscars, they've been announced the nominations on the heels of the Golden Globes. Significant because I know many of you take a break from the back and forth of the political mudslinging and how it affects you and yours in your backyard to go and chuck it all for a few hours if there's a good movie that's out. I'm starting to get more people sending me cheap movie reviews, and it's a quick reminder. If you send me a movie review, I'll send you a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field. And we do our cheap movie review. We'll go through what the new movies are. And this is still kind of the tail end of what I call movie season. There's two times a year when some of your best stuff comes out and ekes and leaks into the theater. On the heels of Star Wars, there's, I think, a couple of other good flicks that are set to come out. There's the movie about Benghazi and what happened there. I'll say about it, but loosely about it. And there's a couple of other movies coming out in the next couple of weeks that I think are going to be pretty good. And what does the Academy say, and do you care? I think this year there were some interesting movies, and we're going to talk about it with Lisa Durden. What's hot and who got snubbed and all that kind of good stuff. See how, really, if you look at where we are, we're close to the Super Bowl. We're in award season for the people in Hollywood. And we're in results season for politics. And less than 6 months from now, well, actually really 6 months from now, because both of the conventions are in July, we have the Republicans and then the Democrats doing their thing in Cleveland and in Philadelphia. And by the end of July, we know. I mean, who is it? And then game on. The debating we're seeing will turn into just the Republican candidate and the Democratic candidate. And I have to tell you, we knew 2016 from the anticipation aspect was going to be interesting, but I didn't realize just how interesting it would be. Because if you went back into the archives of America Tonight, based on so many of the political minds that I picked and the people in the so-called establishment, hey, part of the machine, knowing what's going on, I said that for sure, and I still believe this, that the candidates that were supposed to be there would be Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. Now, Hillary, is she skating on thin ice? She's lost a little steam in the polls. She's dipped down. But if it's not Hillary Clinton, then who is it for the Democrats? And for Trump, the thing that he bumps against, and the thing that I think could explode a lot of hostility in this country, if Republican voters and anybody else wants Donald Trump to be the guy, and ultimately they pull a fast one at the convention through the Electoral College, and that can happen, you know, popular vote versus Electoral College, and it's not Donald Trump, but that was really the popular vote, I think there's going to be massive backlash. And many of you saying, this is rigged, this is ridiculous, this isn't how it's supposed to go in this country. Honestly. And the pundits have said and have admitted, look, we've never seen crowds like Trump's. Shouldn't it be the popular vote? Too bad if that's not what the machine thinks is the right way to go. And you have to admit it. You've seen it. Donald Trump has a movement. I mean, he's speaking to crowds of more than 10,000 people on Wednesday in Pensacola, Florida. They say maybe more than 10,000. Who else had crowds like that? Ronald Reagan. You have to go back to the Reagan days. I've been to lots of different campaign rallies on both sides to see what it's like. And I've seen decent crowds for candidates, but never the kind that look like they're waiting for rock tickets. And that's, for the most part, what Trump is getting. Did he win the debate? He definitely wins the people's vote, there's no question about that. But will he get the Republican nomination? That's your big question mark. Coming up, we're switching gears. We're talking about the statuettes, Oscars, who got the nominations, who got jobs, who deserved it. Lisa Durden on the flip side with me, Kate Delaney, on America Tonight.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor, proven to withstand the force of a battering ram. Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to invasionstopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to InvasionStopper.com now. That's InvasionStopper.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Attention, hardworking Americans over the age of 50. If you have basic computer skills, then you may qualify to earn a second income working from home. Income potential is up to $18 per hour. If you have customer service experience or other marketable skills, your income could be higher. The good news is, you will not be alone in this new career, because you'll be joining 53 million Americans working from home in this growing industry. And growing it is. If you have basic computer skills and would like to earn a second income from home, a new free report can give you all the information you need to get started. Again, the report is free, and you can receive it in minutes. All you have to do is visit RealCashSecrets.com. That's RealCashSecrets.com. To receive your free report, just visit RealCashSecrets.com. But hurry, because this free offer could be discontinued. So go to RealCashSecrets.com. That's RealCashSecrets.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Compliment somebody in Hollywood can hear is the winner is, and then it's them because they win an Oscar or whatever it is that they've done in film. But the key thing is, who isn't getting nominated? Who did get nominated? And why do we even care? Lisa Durden, pop culture expert. She's been on this show to talk about all kinds of things. Never the Oscars, but I'm sure she would love to polish her own statuette. How are you, Lisa?
No, I don't want to polish that statue. I just want to cash that bad boy in for the money.
You're like me. We think a lot alike, sister. I'd have it out there. I'd have you pitching it for me on video somewhere, because I think you'd be a good spokesperson.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I don't care about, I don't want to praise statues, gold statues. I want to cash them in for money.
I love it. So, you know, it's interesting. We look at the Oscars, and I have to tell you, there was nothing like sitting in the theater last week and seeing little Leo, who I can remember on the front of a boat with Kate Winslet when he was like two, now being almost eaten by a grizzly in The Revenant. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did give a good performance. And I saw Matt Damon in The Martian. Both of them are up for actor in a leading role. But also Eddie Redmayne is up for the Danish Girl, Bryan Cranston, who we love from his drug days when you think of... you know, you think of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the meth labs and Breaking Bad. And Michael Fassbender for Steve Jobs. And I thought he had a pretty good performance in that, too. I saw that. Do you think anybody was missed in this category? Or who do you think walks away with this? Because I think this is a pretty tough one.
Well, I'm wondering where the Negroes are. Do you know where the Negroes are?
Yeah, where? Exactly. I thought that riddle was solved by the Oscars, you know?
Oh, well, I mean, not all the Negroes deserve to be in there, but there is at least two or three Negroes that should have been in there, and one of the main Negroes was Sarah Compton. The film,
the performance.
Come on, boo. Can we like really get down with the real meal deal?
Yeah, I agree.
That's
absolutely
all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah,
go right ahead. I'm listening.
And why is it that, why did Compton get jobbed? Because there was lots of praise for it, but it was among people that get it, some in the film community, etc. And a lot of people went to see it. So I'm with you. I don't understand why that film didn't get recognition.
It's not just a lot of people. It killed records. This is beyond just people. It murdered records.
Yeah.
Murdered records in many categories. So that was just, you know, unbelievable. And I'm not saying this because I'm a black person. I happen to be black. I don't think that Will Smith deserves the Oscar or being nominated for the role he played because his African accent sounded like, you know, Ork from Mork. Mork from Ork. Nanu, 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 nanu. I couldn't understand the man. So he was not good in that role. But I'm like, really, when you say snub, they should get an award for the worst snub Oscar nomination of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. And you know, then you look at the ladies and actresses in a leading role, and you know, kind of across the board, there's sort of a youth movement thing going with Jennifer Lawrence and Joy and the girl from Room and whatnot. And
but Kate Winslet's in there though. She's
yes.
in there.
Yep. Absolutely. Kate Blanchett, for her role in that, and Carol was the name of the film, and absolutely she was there, and so I thought they picked interesting actresses with very difficult roles that they played, and you know, Kate Winslet in the supporting thing with the Steve Jobs, and I thought she was good in that. So I don't know, with the women, perhaps it's okay. For some of the films, anyway, that were nominated. But you and I both know this. You know what it is. It is who likes who, and they push and they prod and they put in Variety magazine to vote for XYZ film. And it's about a lot of times what the studio will put up as far as publicity. Is that fair?
You know, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about, you know, how they go about doing this, but I really think they should revisit this. It sort of reminds me about of how we elect our presidents. Do they need the Electoral College?
No.
Just deal with the popular vote. So similar to that, let's just deal with what the people said. If everybody spent their money on this film and it blew out box offices, then some kind of way the top 10 films should be in the top nominations because we said so. What does that mean? I guess ticket sales should be one of the main things. I don't know. But whatever's happening now, they've got to redo it. We need a do-over. Can we get a do-over?
I like that. We want a do-over. And, you know, you make such a good...
We want a do-over, Dan.
You're right. You make such a good point. You know, straight out of Compton, you're talking about 200.4 million box office. It was groundbreaking. Yeah. That's huge.
They murdered the record.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm talking films across the board, black films, white films, you know, films, you know, just science fiction films, horror stories. It killed every record historically and recently and currently. So, like, what does a person want? Hello, what do y'all need? You know, so I don't know what Ice Cube and them were doing to promote this. Does it come from the studios? I mean, I don't know. What the hell?
Yeah, it comes from the studios. That's it. It's the studios and what the studios are pushing up. And, you know, as I said, the reviewers gave it great reviews, too. So there was certainly a push for it. Paul Giamatti was in it, and Jason Mitchell, and Corey Hawkins, and, you know, O'Shea Jackson Jr., if you think about it, Dr. Dre, and I mean, what they portrayed.
Junior.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You think about the significance of the film, of the culture, and what it talked about was I thought was brilliant. It was when you think of, again, when you think of Jerry Heller, you think of Dr. Dre, you think of Ice Cube, you think of the characters. It's, I mean, again, it was an incredible film. I saw it as soon as it was out, and I'm assuming you saw it too, so you can speak to that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it was a slap in the face that way down the list of nominations, they did nominate the film for Best Screenplay, but it was for a white man. Don't get me wrong. He wrote his butt off. But isn't it interesting that the white man in the film gets nominated for a black film? Like, really?
Yeah.
You know, so and I'm not saying he shouldn't have, I'm just saying, if it's logical that if you're going to say the writing was good and the playwright, the screenplay was good, then wouldn't the other stuff be good?
Yeah.
Not that he shouldn't get it, because he damn sure should.
Yeah. Exactly, because that's the one thing.
He deserves the nomination in that category as well.
Right. That was Jonathan Herman. So you're right. Absolutely.
The writing was phenomenal.
I agree. Now, will you watch the Oscars? It's on February 28th. Do you give a crap what anybody wears or what they say? Do you care about that?
I'm somewhat of a fashionista, because back in my younger days, I used to model on what we call the Chitlin' Circuit. That means you never made it in the business. You just modeled in the little liquor stores and the little bars in the neighborhood. So back in my younger years on the Chitlin' Circuit, I was a fashionista modeling. But, you know, so I will watch the pre-Oscar show and all that stuff. But, girl, when I start watching the Oscar, I'm going to be on an IV drip, because it's going to bore me to tears.
I know.
It does it every year. But because I have a new career called Pop Culture Commentator, I must do it for work. But, girl, before this pop culture thing went crazy, and I was a journalist for at least 15 years before it, like, all went off the charts, my ex-boyfriend, who's ex now, would say, "Lisa, you watched the Oscars again, didn't you?" And I started to lie. "No, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it." Because I watch every year. And then start, you know, going to his house and I begin to complain. "Oh, my God, it was boring. Oh, my God, I was watching paint, like watching paint dry. Oh, my God, it was as boring as Melba Toast." And he was like, "I'm sick of it." So then I had to stop talking about it. So he would tell me, "You watched the Oscars, didn't you?" No, I didn't watch it. I didn't.
I didn't watch it. Oh, we love you. You are great, Lisa.
I did not watch that show.
I did not watch it. Lisa Durden, we'll talk to you again. Thanks so much for adding your $0.02. We appreciate it. The Chitlin Circle. It's a Chitlin Circuit. I love it. I think I was on that circuit, too. Hang with us. We're talking about Everest. One survivor story. Wait till you hear it on the flip side. Don't want to miss it.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. regulation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack and was told I'd be on disability for the rest of my life. What did I do? I created Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Imagine you're at the threshold of your dreams. Think about it. You have the chance to climb Mount Everest. What it takes, the courage, the thought, just even in my mind thinking about it is overwhelming. I'll tell you what, our next guest is unbelievable. Lou Kosciuszko was somebody who in the spring of 1996 was realizing those dreams. In fact, he hooked up with renowned climber Rob Hall's Mount Everest expedition. And you probably know what I'm talking about because it was made into a movie. And there is a book now that is out that Lou has written. It's called After the Win, Tragedy on Everest, One Survivor's Story. And like I mentioned, imagine what it takes to decide you're going to do this and then what happens when tragedy strikes and yet you're there, you have to make a decision right before that to decide whether you're going to push through to the top or not. Lou, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. It's my honor to be here.
So, first of all, take us back to the decision to climb Everest and what that meant to you to have the opportunity to do that, and especially hooking up with Rob Hall and knowing the experience there.
Yes, well, I had been climbing for decades before that and had always thought about climbing the highest in the world, and I had climbed with Rob Hall on Antarctica in the early 90s, and he had made a remarkable decision on the mountain in 96, in 95, when he turned the expedition around close to the summit And I made the decision right then to want to climb under his leadership because he had the strength to do something that I thought was remarkable when you're so close to the top but still keep your priorities of safety in mind and to make critical decisions under those high-stress situations. And as it turned out, in 96, he got a permit to climb with the New Zealand-based expedition, and I joined the expedition.
And
that's
you joined,
how it all started.
Yeah, and you joined the expedition, and take us back through the early steps of the start of that journey. It seemed like all was going well in the beginning, right?
Yes, actually it was. For 6 weeks, we were making our way up the mountain, doing all the right things. Things were going well. People were staying healthy, even though it's a very a big struggle to do that. Good decisions were being made. We had fairly good weather. And so we had every reason to believe that we were going to have a successful expedition. And we had moved up to our highest camp on May 9th, and it turned out we arrived in a bad storm, and we had to make a critical decision at that point as to whether to continue, but the weather had calmed, and we decided to make the decision to go. And then even on summit day, we moved along on time until daybreak, as we had climbed through the night, and daybreak we were still on time, but then at noon we were very close to the top, but we had made some mistakes and we were out of time. And so at that moment, and that's the pivotal moment in the story, was that everybody had to make a decision at that point about what to do. And what's not commonly known is that when you're climbing in the Everest death zone, which is above 26,000 feet, you really are on your own. You're either going to make it or you're not. And when things go wrong, rarely is it a force of nature. It's usually climber error and individual decision making. So we all had to make that tough decision at that point. So that's really the big story. The big story was that we were all at the same place at the same time facing the same situation. So how can you have a different outcome? That's really the question I'm most frequently asked. And my answer is, well, it's individuality, because we each brought something different with us to the mountain that influences what we do. And as it turned out, some lived and some died.
And you say it so beautifully in the sense that reading something from your book, you say, I'm close to the top, I'm out of time, as you just explained, but I can do this. That's when it happened. A veiled force overpowered me. The sound of the wind vanished. Everything went quiet. I jammed my ice axe like a stake into the snow. I gripped tight with both hands as I buckled to my knees. The snow silently swirled around me, seemingly in slow motion. All I could hear was my pounding heart. After the wind, I listened to the sound of sheer silence when I heard what saved my life. What saved your life?
Well, what saved my life, and that's the remarkable thing about my personal story, is that I was really given a second chance at that moment, because a short time just before that, just before the moments you just described, I had made the decision to continue. But then I was overwhelmed by this force and dropped to my knees, and the only sound I could hear was my beating heart. And to this day, I feel that beating heart, that voice within, was really the voice of my wife's heart, Sandy's heart, crying out to be heard. Because at that moment, the strength that you needed to live was not physical strength. It was really the inner strength to make the right decision. But it was the struggle, because you're so close and you know you can make it, but the question is whether you could make it back down, and to give me the strength that I needed at that point to overcome my own ambition and pressures to succeed was the voice of the heart. And I had promised my wife Sandy that I would only live a story I could tell, and for me to continue at that point would not have been a story I could tell, even if I could have survived it, because it would have meant breaking my promise to my wife, putting other people in danger, climbing beyond the turnaround time, and if I had survived it, it was not a story that I could be proud of and have any self-respect or the respect of others. So I credit, in my case, not my own rational thinking or myself, I credit to the spiritual force of love within me, that God's gift to me of my wife Sandy's love and that promise that I had made to her.
Wow. So as you realize at that moment, you make the decision, you're going down, no easy feat, by the way, because you're trying to survive, and you have to be thinking in your head, as you say, it's an individual decision, Lou, but you have to be thinking in your head about some of your comrades and hoping and wishing them certainly the best. And then eventually, as you get back to high camp, you start to find out what happened, and what was that like to learn that some just are missing, frankly, and some are dead.
Getting back down was didn't necessarily mean survival, or turning back at noon didn't necessarily mean survival, because we climbed down into a storm. And you know, Kate, at that moment and for quite some time after that, it was all about sheer survival of myself, hanging on. I thought any minute I was in my tent, but the tent was shredding to pieces, and I thought any minute I was going to be blown into China, bouncing around inside of my tent. And so for quite a long time, it was a matter of thinking about your own survival, thinking 5 to 10 to 30 seconds ahead, and that was about it. You had no time to reflect. And it wasn't until later that when the winds calmed and I kind of figured out that I'm alone and all of my tent mates aren't there with me, I'm starting to wonder what happened. And then you start to figure out that they didn't make it back, and you knew under the circumstances of the weather that they were still out there. And but even then, and this is strange probably to say, that my emotions were probably as cold as my body, because you're still focused on how am I ever going to get out of here. I'm still at 26,000 feet, and the weather is still bad weather, and you can't live for very long above at that altitude, and that's why they call it the death zone, because your body is literally dying. So you don't reflect too much about the fate of others until you have some sense of your own survival.
Wow. What a story. Lou, hang on. Can you stay with us?
Yes.
We'll be back with more with Lou Kosciski. After the Wind is his book, Tragedy on Everest, One Survivor's Story.
Is your your premier source for purified water. The Berkey Light System is portable, requiring no water pressure, electricity, or plumbing, so you can enjoy healthy drinking water anytime, especially during emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. This portable system can purify raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, even stagnant ponds. It removes bad taste and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, as well as organic chemicals, pharmaceuticals, viruses, bacteria, cysts, and parasites, and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the healthful minerals your body needs. And you can take the power of Berkey with you when you leave home with a Sport Berkey. Get the Berkey Light System along with two Sport Berkey bottles, a $310 value for only $268, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Save $42 now by asking for this special offer. That's toll-free 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks, all on the nation's best 4G LTE network? Introducing Pix Wireless. Bring your phone and other qualifying devices to Pix and to choose a plan starting at only $14 a month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-267-2056 or pixwireless.com, spelled P-I-X, wireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
We're talking to Lou about what it was like when he turned back, went down, his tent being shredded, what he thought was going to happen, how to survive. His book is called After the Wind, Tragedy on Everest, as you know, one survivor's story. Pick it up. It is just an incredible read. Lou, it took you a while to be able to put this story together. Why was that? Was it hard to relive it?
Well, what happened was I actually wrote the story. I called it Pages. I didn't think of it as a book at first. I wrote it 17 years ago, and I did that because the reporting was sort of like fog rolling in, obscuring and distorting what actually happened, and my belief of actually what went wrong was different from others, and I needed to write it down to preserve my own understanding, but at the time, my reasons for writing the story were different from the reasons for publishing the story, because at the time I just wanted to understand what story I had lived, and I wasn't interested in publishing also because what went wrong was really a matter of human failure, and I did not want to be one more voice of criticism about the people who were my friends. But I also wrote a very highly personal story at the same time. And when my wife became seriously ill, we spent a lot of alone time together and time reflecting on our lives, and I decided that I wanted to honor her and pay tribute to her, and the best way I thought I could do that was to put in physical form the story of my survival and her role in that. And that was really the motivating force for me 17 years later to publish the story. And today I feel very good about that because she has been, she's still with me, and she's felt much enrichment from all the responses, the overwhelming responses that have been coming from really people all around the world who have been reading the story. And I think it was a way for me to complete my gratitude to her. Today, I think as it sits on bookshelves and libraries and schools around the world, I think of it as akin to a portrait of her hanging on the wall of a place of honor. And it's a part of her legacy. And, you know, you learn a lot about life and yourself and experiences like this, and to now share this has been just an overwhelming, enriching thing for both of us.
Yeah, and sharing it, you did certainly on the big screen. You were a consultant on the movie. What was that like for you?
That was a very interesting experience. I enjoyed it very much. You know, the big story was about the confluence of all the individual stories.
Mm.
And, of course, the movie was a selection of just a few of the more dramatic stories and really basically about the people who died. And I enjoyed the experience because it was a different experience. It's a creative storytelling experience, and I didn't know how screenwriters really work. They work in terms of scenes, much different from a piece of literary work. And the decision was made that they wanted to make it a fairly heartwarming story. I wanted to add a love story component to it. And it was never intended to be a documentary chronicling the factual record. But everything that is shown did happen. There were no cheesy things or over-dramatic events. I give it a 10 for cinematography, music, sound, acting. It was really quite remarkable. And from my own standpoint, when I saw the movie the first time, I really relived the experience. And it was hard for me to see it as a movie, and I had to go back again to try to separate myself from the person who was there, and because I could, the people who died were my friends and they're still there. Their bodies will be there for eternity. And as I was watching the film, I could see, I knew exactly where they were, and it was a little bit unsettling. So the second time that I saw it, I was able to separate myself somewhat anyway and just see it as a movie. And I was also looking for what scenes were cut and what scenes were changed. But it was a good experience. I enjoyed it very much.
And so after the movie comes out, and as you say, it's even more people are being made aware of, you know, your story of what happened, even though there was lots of reports about it and whatnot. What do you hope people take away from what you've written?
Well, what I hope they take away is, I think you have to think of your travel through life as living a story. And as you make your big decisions you face, think of those as a living a story you can tell. So that you can look back and feel with self pride and honorable in what you do in life. So it's a good, I mean, the promise that I made and the promise that I kept to live a story that I could tell was a pretty good template for basically all of the decisions that I've made in life. And I think what the Everest story shows is that, you know, the true worth of your travel through life lies not in how far or how high you go, but who you come to be along the way. And think about others. Don't think just about yourself. Keep your word. And always listen to the voice of the heart. The heart has a still small voice, and that is the source of the strength for me when I made that critical decision near the top. And so look beyond yourself and listen to the voice of the heart as you make your big decisions in life.
Wow, so well said. A great way to finish this. What was it like when you were reunited with your precious wife?
Well, it was one of the finest moments in my life. We just looked at each other and embraced. And I think today there is no nicer time in my life than just being together, feeling the love between us. And right now she's very ill, and we have a lot of alone time, and it's actually in some ways some of the best time in our lives. We just share life together and feel the warmth and the love of each other. And it's I'll still never forget the moments of seeing her for the first time.
Wow. What a story. After the Wind, Tragedy on Everest, One Survivor Story. Lou Kosciski, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you, Kate, for having me. I appreciate it very much, just sharing my experience.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
You you haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.